It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, exercise has been shown to benefit people being treated for cancer, but we'll check out a new report that finds doctors aren't prescribing exercise for their cancer patients.
First, Governor Walker pushed his Republican colleagues in the state legislature to get behind his $6 billion transportation funding plan.
His original transportation proposal has been stalled over the last few months as Assembly Republicans unveiled their own plan, and some lawmakers want to take transportation funding out of the budget entirely and tackle it separately.
Laurel White is with us now. She's state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you were at an event with the governor this morning. Set the scene for us.
Well, I drove into Illinois and back into Wisconsin to get to this event. It was at the Wisconsin Welcome Center down by Beloit. And the governor chose this location, kind of standing out by that welcome sign near the interstate there, because the interstate I-30 and 90 is one of the projects that he's proposed continuing in his state budget proposal. He just has a handful in there that he's continuing to fund. And so he was kind of highlighting that project, which began in 2015. It's been going on for a while. It's a pretty expensive project. And others that he has in the budget. And essentially his message today to lawmakers was, let's get this transportation budget done. I'm funding these projects. I'm not raising gas taxes or vehicle registration fees. My proposal's a good one. And there will be dire consequences for these big projects if we don't pass the budget on time.
And he's trying to rally support, obviously, because he's not getting full support from his own party in the legislature. What kind of concerns have been raised?
Well, really, the conflict is pretty simple. You can boil it down to the fact that the governor wants to delay some projects and borrow about $500 million to continue funding the ones that he wants to keep. And Republicans, particularly in the state assembly, don't want him to borrow that much money and don't want to delay projects. So some of the projects that are cut in the governor's budget proposal are rebuilding the northern portion of the Zoo Interchange in Milwaukee, an expansion of I-94 west of Milwaukee, and an expansion of I-39/90/94 north of Madison, which some people have said is an important road for tourism. So Republican lawmakers in the legislature are concerned about, you know, not paying for those road projects. They think that they deserve some money. And they're also pretty concerned about this bonding. The borrowing has been a really big sticking point, especially for Assembly Republicans.
Assembly Republicans have talked about various options, including raising user fees and gas taxes. They had a plan that got into a lot of areas not that long ago, including fee increases, other tax cuts, things like that. What's the latest we're hearing from Assembly Republicans as to what they'd like to do instead?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Assembly Republicans did put out that plan, and the governor pretty quickly kind of quashed it. You know, he reiterated today that he's not at all interested in a gas tax increase. The Assembly Republicans had included, kind of in a way, a gas tax increase in their plan. It was a cut in the gas tax itself, but it was increasing the sales tax. So it was, in a way, sort of a swap. And the governor said today to reporters, you know, anything that, you know, however you maneuver it, anything that raises taxes for Wisconsin residents, I am going to oppose. So that really seems like a no-go. And he said today, again, really emphatically, I also oppose vehicle registration fees. And that's another thing that Assembly Republicans had put out there. And interestingly, you know, borrowing has really become a high-profile sticking point today. One of the reporters at the press conference asked the governor about transportation borrowing. They said, you know, it seems like Senate Republicans are open to a little bit more borrowing than you've proposed in the budget, potentially. The governor proposed about $500 million in borrowing. Assembly Republicans want less than $500 million. What does that mean? And the governor joked and he said, you know, if somebody wants more and somebody wants less and I'm in the middle, I guess that means I'm kind of like, it's like Goldilocks. The amount that I'm proposing is just right. And Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinecke, who's been, obviously he's in a leadership position in the Assembly, has been a vocal person about borrowing. And he tweeted, even Goldilocks deserved good roads to get to grandma's house. Getting it just right means paying for it as we go. So this debate is really a tense one, you know, and we're seeing it play out on social media, which is pretty interesting, something that we may not have really seen before. And we're getting ever closer to that June 30th deadline. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of common ground we can find over the next few weeks.
Talking to State Capitol reporter Laurel White, WPR News, looking at the governor cheerleading for his transportation funding plan this morning in Beloit. Assembly Republicans in particular not on board, at least not yet. And Laurel, that deadline you mentioned, I understand some in the legislature saying, okay, well, maybe we need to strip out the transportation part of the budget from the budget, get it, the rest of it done, and then consider transportation. Is that right?
That's right. So that's something that has been discussed. Stripping out the transportation budget is something that lawmakers have done in the past, but it's been a while. I think it's something like 20 years since they've done that. And the reason that lawmakers would do that would be to get more votes for the transportation budget that they might lose on other things. In other parts of the budget, something about school funding or natural resources funding or anything that might be a little contentious. This kind of puts transportation on its own shelf and makes it, you know, potentially, some would say, easier to get more votes for. So even that, though, has gotten pretty quick pushback from the governor. He does not support breaking out the transportation budget. As I mentioned before, that was part of his message today. He said, you know, if we break out the transportation budget, that might lead us to delaying some of these major road projects that I'm funding in my budget. Others have said that they're similarly opposed to breaking out the budget. Probably most notably, other than the governor, the Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, has said that he's not necessarily on board with breaking out the transportation budget. So those are two pretty high-profile individuals that are standing in the way of that happening.
We've been talking mostly about the high-profile highway-type project. How about local road funding? We've heard on this show and elsewhere from local government groups saying, hey, we need some attention, need a little love here to fix our potholes and things like that. Did the governor address that this morning?
Yeah, so he also pointed out, in addition to the major projects that he proposes funding in his state budget, that he does have a good chunk of money in there, new money, for local governments to do things like fix potholes and things like that. So he said, again, you know, if we break out this transportation budget and it takes a while to pass, because ostensibly you're breaking it out because it's not going to hit that June 30th deadline. He said, you know, if it's a couple weeks late, no big deal. But if we start getting into months and we're continuing at current funding levels because of the delay, that's what happens when you hit the new budget deadline and there isn't a new budget, you just keep the last budget rolling. So new money isn't going to show up for local governments. And he said that's really going to hurt local governments. They need this funding that I'm giving them in my budget for doing local projects.
You know, the idea of toll roads, I mean, toll was once a four-letter word in Wisconsin, but it seems like people in the legislature and elsewhere have warmed up to that. Is that something that the governor has talked about today or recently?
Yeah, he mentioned that today as well. So tolling has been something that state lawmakers have been discussing for years. It's kind of been a thing at the back of lawmakers' minds, and it's bubbled up again during this legislative session. There was actually a study that lawmakers commissioned, I believe it was last year, maybe the year before, about where tolls should go if they were put in Wisconsin. So it's kind of been mulling over, and some Assembly Republicans have put tolling out as a way to make more money and fund more projects in Wisconsin. And today, a reporter at the press conference asked the governor, hey, what do you think about tolling right now? Where do you sit? And the governor said that he would consider it, that he could support it, but it would have to result in lower gas taxes for Wisconsin residents, which is something that I certainly haven't heard him say before, tying the tolling to a gas tax decrease. So that's kind of another interesting factor that got rolled into the transportation debate today.
So we've got the governor out there by the Welcome Center in Beloit, using that as a bully pulpit to try to get fellow Republicans on board with his transportation plan. You mentioned Representative Steinicke earlier. Are we seeing any signs that people who've been opposed to this plan so far are starting to change their minds?
You know, I haven't seen a lot of change. I think maybe we're getting close to the deadline now. We're entering June later this week, obviously, and I think that's when really the noses hit the grindstone, or whatever phrase you want to use. But it's really getting real now for the transportation budget. And if they're not going to split it out and treat it separately from the rest of the state budget, some folks are really going to have to make big strides toward the middle here. And some big compromises are going to have to be made, because a lot of lawmakers have expressed strong opinions that are very different from each other. So there are going to have to be some big changes for a compromise to be made here.
And I wanted to ask, they may not have a lot of say in what happens here, but have we heard much from Democrats in the last few days about this back and forth?
Democrats have been a lot quieter. The Republicans have really been the ones very vocal about the transportation budget at this point. But Democrats could end up playing a pretty important role, because if the transportation budget is broken out and treated separately from the rest of the state budget, Democrats' votes could become really important in getting that passed.
So what's next? Is there going to have to be a beer summit or something to bring all parties together and hash this out?
Maybe that's the solution, Rob. I don't know. Something big is going to have to happen, I think. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out and how the disparate parties meet in the middle and who takes some losses and what goes on. So we'll keep a close eye on it.
Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Laurel White, State Capitol reporter for WPR News. She joined us to give us the latest on the governor's transportation budget.
Right now, going through cancer treatment can be exhausting physically, mentally, and emotionally. But it turns out that exercise can really benefit patients even if they don't feel like they have the energy to get started.
New research from the Gunderson Medical Foundation in La Crosse finds that patients look to their doctors for guidance on physical activity, but those doctors often feel like they don't have the time or specific expertise to give them a good plan.
Angela Smith is an academic researcher with Gunderson Medical Foundation. Angela, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, what do we know about the benefits for cancer patients with exercise?
Well, there has been a growing body of research that has suggested that physical activity or exercise is beneficial to many different cancers. In terms of, the research has focused on risk of recurrence, reducing that risk of recurrence for those patients who regularly engage in physical activity. What we don't know is the best way to prescribe that to our patients. There's been really no research out there that looks at what's the optimal plan for how we disseminate that information to our patients.
So you're saying it's not just that patients who exercise feel better. You're saying this can actually benefit them in that the rates of the cancer coming back are lower.
Yes, there have been studies that have supported that in several different cancer types, in breast cancer, in colon cancer, and prostate cancer, that it actually can reduce the risk of recurrence. And that's where that research has pretty much focused, and not really addressing the quality of life issues, in which is what we were interested in finding out from our patients and where our next research project is focused.
Now, this idea of exercising as you undergo cancer treatment or as you finish cancer treatment, it's a new one, isn't it? Because it used to be that the advice was cancer patients shouldn't exert themselves and there should be more rest involved. When did that switch happen?
That would be really a great question for some of our doctors who have worked on this project as well. That paradigm shift, I think, is kind of gray in terms of when, if there was really a when that changed. I think that as more and more research has been done, more and more providers or physicians, oncologists have been exposed to this information and perhaps have changed their prescribing behavior in regards to physical activity. And you're absolutely right. There was a time, I would say even probably 10 years ago, where cancer patients were probably actually discouraged to engage in physical activity to save their energy for their treatment, so to speak.
And what did you hear from patients themselves about what they were experiencing with more exercise?
Right. So that was the focus of our of this initial study we did, is we brought patients in for focus groups, and we wanted to ask them about their experience with physical activity during their cancer treatment while they were receiving chemotherapy. Our patients that came in and participated in those focus groups were, first of all, very amazing to share all of those experiences with us. And what we learned from is that they're interested in learning how they can be more active. They want information. They want advice about that. And those patients that did engage in the regular physical activity, they recovered from their surgeries quicker. They had more energy during the day. They said they felt that their spirits were higher day to day. So not only the scientific benefits of reducing your risk of recurrence and so on, that quality of life element, which is so important, they found benefit from that.
We're talking with Angela Smith right now from Gunderson Medical Foundation, talking about a new study that found that cancer patients saw benefit with exercise while they were being treated, but that there was a disconnect in that the doctors who were treating these patients with cancer were not prescribing exercise. And let's talk about that now, Angela. Why this disconnect going on with doctors who were not getting very specific with patients about what they should do to exercise, but instead referred them to, say, rehabilitative facility or therapy?
Right. So the main focus of hearing from our patients is we wanted to know how they want to get this information, because we know it's beneficial. We know we need to get it to them. How can we make this work for them? What are their desires? And what we heard from them is they want to hear this information from their oncologist. And we then also conducted a group with our oncology providers. And what we heard from them is that they agree. They think that physical activity, they've read the research, that they think it's beneficial to their patients. However, in this day and age of everybody being time crunched, they felt that there were major time constraints within that clinic appointment, that there were other things that were much more important for them to cover with that patient, whether it be test results, scan results, their treatment, their lab results, that if something had to fall off the bottom, it was that discussion about physical activity and exercise. So that being said, that it would be easier to have them go see somebody in physical therapy or exercise physiology to get that advice if they wanted to have that.
I suppose if you're a patient that being referred to a rehab facility, that's another appointment when you probably had an awful lot of appointments. Is that part of it, that they might want to consolidate their treatment?
We absolutely heard that from our patients, is they were, not only did they want recommendations and guidance from their oncologist, because what we heard from them is they feel that oncologist knows what they're putting them through. They're the ones prescribing these medications, these drugs. They know the effects on it. They know what the cancer is doing to my body. And they wanted something that they could do at home. They want a home-based program that's manageable. So exactly what you're saying, they do not have one more appointment to attend in an already appointment-laden week for them.
And the medical field has been growing in that the areas of specialization have been growing faster than those who are more generalists. I mean, is it also that maybe the doctors feel they don't know the answer to what the best treatment is when it comes to exercise, that's what an exercise therapist might be able to do?
Yeah, I think that was another one of the barriers that we heard from them, is that they don't feel that they have necessarily that level of expertise, especially with a patient who may be at risk for a pathological fracture, who has a decreased functional status, what would be appropriate for them to be able to do. So there is that. We did hear that as a barrier from our providers, that that lack of expertise and continuing education in that area for an oncologist maybe causes them pause to give that advice.
So clearly everyone has different physical capabilities as they're going through cancer treatment and recovery, but is there any sort of baseline about what is helpful?
You know, the other studies in terms of the risk of recurrence, not the quality of life pieces, because we haven't seen a lot of studies on that. They report that for there a certain number of METs need to be met to see that benefit. So there is some scientific construction to the exercise program in terms of its intensity level and its duration so that you can achieve those METs of exercise.
What about something as simple as walking?
We feel that, and I'm looking at some of the notes that Dr. Agnes had provided, and she really feels that simple walking is probably the most underutilized exercise that not only cancer patients, but regular patients can engage in to improve not only quality of life, but improve their health as well.
Well, Angela, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Angela Smith is an academic researcher with Gunderson Medical Foundation in La Crosse, and they recently looked at the role that exercise can play for patients being treated for cancer.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, news continues to emerge about connections between the Trump campaign and Russian officials. We'll get analysis of the latest developments in a bit.
First, yesterday was the unofficial start of summer, a time when many Wisconsinites travel around the state to see its natural wonders like the many state parks.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite state park in Wisconsin? What park would you recommend, and which parks are you planning to visit this summer? You can call us now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Chelsea Lewis joins us now. She's a multimedia journalist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She recently wrote about 10 Wisconsin state parks to visit this summer. You could find a link to that piece on the Central Time Facebook page. Chelsea, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, did you get out over the holiday weekend to a state park?
Yeah, just before Memorial Day weekend, I actually was able to make it out into the Kettle Moraine State Forest, which is close to me in Milwaukee. I got a nice little overnight backpacking trip in the Ice Age Trail. So that was a nice kickoff to summer.
I used to live near the Ice Age Trail when I was a kid, and I have only vague memories of leaves and trees, which isn't very helpful. Can you remind us what's special about the Kettle Moraine State Forest?
Sure, yeah. Well, the Kettle Moraine State Forest is kind of the birthplace of the Ice Age Trail. Ray Zillmer, who was a Milwaukee lawyer, kind of was behind protecting it. He envisioned a national park that stretched through almost all of Wisconsin and kind of followed the path of the end of the last glacier. And so now we have this beautiful 1,200-mile National Scenic Trail that winds through the whole state. It's not completed yet. It's about half done. But a large portion of it travels through the state forest in southeastern Wisconsin. And in the northern unit, it travels through the whole forest, about 31 miles. So it's a really beautiful trail. And no matter where you are in Wisconsin, you're usually never too far from it. So that's a great resource of Wisconsin's.
And we can go to state parks year-round. What do you like most about getting out there in the summer in particular?
Well, yeah, like you said, we can go any time of year, but the summer is when everything kind of comes alive in Wisconsin, right? You know, we have our beautiful lakes and rivers that we can swim and fish and kayak and canoe in. The trees are full of leaves. This time of year is really great. You know, the rain has kind of been a pain in some ways, but the rivers are really raging right now, and so are the waterfalls. So up in northern Wisconsin, for instance, Copper Falls State Park has two really beautiful waterfalls that this time of year are just awesome because of all the recent rainfall. So you get really, you know, kind of robust waterfalls that are great to see.
And Copper Falls, if someone hasn't been there, it's spectacular because it really is. The water is the color of copper, and it looks almost kind of magical.
Yeah, it really does. And you get that kind of brown-black basalt rock that the river runs through, you know, that ancient lava rock. So it's just stunning. And I think a lot of people don't expect landscapes like that in Wisconsin, but we have them here and they're really beautiful.
I want to bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. We have Travis with us in North Prairie. Travis, hi.
Hey. My favorite park is Governor Dodge State Park. It's about an hour, hour and a half west of the Madison area. Lots of fantastic trails. It's gigantic. There's lots of rock formations you can climb on. I actually found out about the place oddly through a LARP, a live-action role-playing game that's based on Lord of the Rings. And so we hang out there and dress up like weirdos and have a good time.
It does a good job doubling for, you know, an elven forest?
Yes, it does. It does a fantastic job.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Travis, for that call. And Governor Dodge, Chelsea, is on your top 10 list, right?
Yeah, it's such a great park. Like you said, it's so big. There's so much to explore there. And it's actually in the driftless region of the state, so you kind of get these nice rolling hills. There are two lakes that you can swim and paddle on. I think over 40 miles of hiking trails, and plus two campgrounds there. So it's really great for camping as well.
Travis, thanks a lot for that call. And we go next to Jason in Hales Corners. Jason, hi.
Hi. My favorite state park is Newport State Park in Door County.
What do you like about it?
I love the backpacking sites. So there's a handful of backpacking sites in Wisconsin. I recommend everyone go and research these sites. They're fantastic. It offers a different type of camping. I mean, car camping in itself is great, but there's just something different about, you know, backpacking into your site, carrying all your stuff with you, and there are fantastic trails at Newport, and it just offers a different type of camping experience.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Appreciate you calling. And Chelsea, do you share that? What do you like about Newport?
Yeah, absolutely. Newport was on my list for the backpacking site, so that was part of the reason. It's a really great park. It's on the quieter side of Door County. You know, the west side of the peninsula is pretty busy, but the eastern side is a little quieter. Newport's up toward the top of the peninsula, and it has 11 miles of Lake Michigan shoreline. You have these great remote backpacking campsites. It's the state's only wilderness park, so it's not as developed as some of the other state parks. Really great stargazing opportunities. I think they're trying to get, like, dark sky certified, like some national parks are. So, yeah, that's an awesome park up in Door County.
Jason, thanks for your call. We are talking about the state parks of Wisconsin. Chelsea Lewis is with us. She wrote a piece, 10 Great Wisconsin State Parks to Visit this summer. You can share yours. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Let us know your favorite state parks. Chelsea, let's stay in the Door County area. Rock Island State Park, now off the tip of Door County. Speaking of a bit secluded, tell us about that one.
Yeah, you know, I think that might be one of the hardest state parks to get to. You have to take two ferries, a ferry first over to Washington Island, and then a smaller ferry over to Rock Island. But the rewards are great. It's a small little island that you can hike all the way around. I think the trail all the way around is just over 5 miles. Again, you have these kind of secluded backpacking campsites right along the lake shore. The state's oldest lighthouse is there that you can tour in the summer. There's this great old stone boathouse that kind of has this Nordic architecture. So just a ton to explore on this little island off the tip of Door County.
And I hear it's pretty competitive getting those campsites on Rock Island. Do you have any advice for getting these campsites? How early do you have to get in there?
Yeah, I mean, if you were looking at a summer weekend for this summer, you might be out of luck. There might be some left, but they're pretty tough to get for the summer weekends. If you go during the week, you probably are still able to get some good sites. And also as it gets later in the season, I've gone up there in mid to late September and the weather is still fantastic because the lake kind of moderates the temperature, so it stays a little warmer a little longer. You know, then you start to get the changing leaves, which is a whole other type of beauty. So, yeah, go later in the season or during the week, and you probably should be able to get a site. Otherwise, you still can go during the day and just visit for the day.
Let's cross over to the other side of the state now, and one that I like, a favorite of mine, Wyalusing State Park is on your list near Prairie du Chien. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, Wyalusing is great. It's right at the confluence of the Wisconsin and the Mississippi Rivers. So you get these great sweeping views of both rivers. You can hike along the bluffs above both of them. There are campsites on some of the bluffs above the river. You can actually hike down to the river. You know, people fish and sometimes swim and kayak. A really beautiful park out in western Wisconsin.
That's a nice one. And there's one I hadn't heard from. I had heard of, I think, everything on your list, but I've not heard of. Is it Perot or is it Parrot State Park?
Yeah, Perot State Park, also kind of in the Wyalusing area. It's a little smaller, and like you said, not as many people know about it. And that's where the Trempealeau and Mississippi Rivers meet. So, again, you get these really nice blufftop views. There's a big bluff there called Brady's Bluff that has this rare, dry prairie landscape. So it's kind of more open. You can see both of the rivers. Really gorgeous and not as busy usually as Wyalusing, so a great stop there.
Let's bring another caller on now. We've got Claire on the line in Weston. Claire, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. What a great environment that we're talking about. My idea was Rocha Cree. My professor from UW-Stevens Point, Dr. Ray Reeser, takes students there, and the environment is amazing. The Native Americans used it as kind of a hunting ground environment where they've got migrating birds and animals that are petroglyphed onto the rocks. Now, there is a lot of vandalism that happened there. I'd kind of like to address that to, you know, hope that these environments that we all go to are respected and our carbon footprint is, you know, as minimal as possible. But I thought this was a great environment to actually bring in more of the Native American history that have lived here for 10,000 years. And I actually found a petroglyph at the base of one of the rocks. It was so exciting. Thanks again for this great, great article. I'm so grateful for WPR and have a great day.
You too, Claire. Thanks a lot. Well, very enthusiastic about Rocha Cree and a lot of learning opportunities at these parks, Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad that she brought up Rocha Cree. I had not been to Rocha Cree until last year, and I was shocked I hadn't been there because it is such a great natural gem as well as part of our history with the petroglyphs there. And, yeah, there definitely is some modern graffiti. Unfortunately, not everyone respects that kind of history and nature like we should, but you can check out the petroglyphs. You can climb to the top of the bluff, a really great park for both nature and history.
We're talking to Chelsea Lewis now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the best state parks to visit in Wisconsin.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What state parks would you recommend to visit in the summer? What did you do over the weekend? Did you go to a state park? Or is there one you're excited to get to over the course of the next few months? And what do you do while you're there? Is it the hiking, the camping, the biking, a picnic out on the water? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation and get to your calls in just a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're picking up our discussion now with Chelsea Lewis from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about Wisconsin state parks to visit in the summer, your favorites, and hearing why you like them.
And you can call in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite Wisconsin state park? Where are you going through the course of this summer? And what do you like to do? Kayak, hike, bike, you name it. Tell us about it. 800-642-1234 or post and find Chelsea's article over on the Central Time Facebook page.
Let's go back to our callers now. We have Susie with us in Port Washington. Susie, hi.
Hi. My favorite state park is Devil's Lake. There's just so much to do. You've got the bluffs. You've got swimming. You've got boating. The camping is great. They're really nicely laid out spots. And you can do the hiking into the bluffs even no matter what time of year it is. You can go in the fall when the leaves are changing or in the summer just to get a nice view of the whole park. But I live in Port Washington, so the one that I go to most is Harrington, and we do a lot of hiking around the quarry up there. It's very pretty up there.
Right. I love both those state parks, Susie. Thank you so much for bringing them up. And what about those two, Harrington Beach State Park and Devil's Lake, Chelsea?
Yeah, Devil's Lake is kind of like the show pony of the state park system. If I meet someone who hasn't been to a state park, that's kind of the first one I tell them to go to. And it seems to be that a lot of people recommend it as well because it is the most popular of the state parks. You get the beautiful quartzite cliffs there, the hiking and the campsites. It's a great park. And Harrington, yeah, it's kind of a quiet little gem over in Lake Michigan here, close to Milwaukee. And that's what's nice about it, too. I think it's only about half an hour from the city, so it's nice for a quick little getaway. They do have campsites there, so you can camp as well. Yeah, those are both really great suggestions.
Susie, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Deborah with us in Brown Deer. Deborah, hi.
Hi. Yes, I love camping. I haven't been in a while, but I love Kohler Andre, and I believe that it has the best stretch of beach on Lake Michigan in the state of Wisconsin. And you can build great sand castles and huge sand castles. And also you could bike there from Milwaukee on the Interurban Trail if you really wanted to.
Deborah, thanks so much for the call. Peninsula and Kohler Andre. And Kohler Andre, I mean, there are moments along that beach where I'm like, am I in Wisconsin? Is this, did I teleport somewhere? It's a very different landscape, Chelsea. Is that one you've been to?
Yeah, yeah, Kohler Andre, especially with the dunes that you have along the beach there, it is so different for Wisconsin and really beautiful. And even with the high lake levels we've had the past few years, the beach has kind of held up. So a really great spot. I love camping there, too. Even in the winter, I've been winter camping there, and it's great.
We're talking with Chelsea Lewis right now, multimedia journalist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're getting her recommendations for great state parks to visit this summer. Sometimes you got to get that camping reservation in if you want to camp, but you can always day trip. And we want to hear from you. What is your favorite state park to visit? Do you have great memories at one of them? Family memories? Do your kids especially like one? What about you when you're on your own and you just want to be alone in nature? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we go back to our callers now. We have Chris joining us next in Jackson County. Chris, hi.
Hi. One of my favorite state parks is the Black River State Forest. That's just because it has such a variety of activities to do and such a large area. It's a great place to go backpack camping and canoeing and hiking, and there's plenty of opportunities for fishing and hunting as well, and just getting away.
Nice. Great description, Chris. Thanks for that. And Chelsea, have you had experience with the Black River State Forest?
Yeah, I've gone hiking kind of in the Castle Mound area of that state forest. Really beautiful kind of bluff mound that you can hike up and around. And like the caller mentioned, there are so many things to do. It's such a big property. And also, it's right off the interstate. It's pretty accessible to people. So, you know, even if you're traveling, like, from Milwaukee to the Twin Cities or anywhere in between, you can kind of hop off for a nice little dose of nature and get back on, or do a longer trip if you want.
Yeah, that one's thanks for the call, Chris. That is among the first I went to in Wisconsin. The very first one, and I need to go back there, Natural Bridge State Park. I lived in Wisconsin for, I think, 3 days. Looked on the map, Natural Bridge State Park. That sounds cool, and that's all I knew about it and went there. And, yeah, there's this cool natural bridge that had this history as, a meeting place for Native Americans in Wisconsin history. Is that one you've been to, Chelsea?
It's a great little gem kind of in the Baraboo area. You know, everyone does go up to Devil's Lake and Mirror Lake, some of the bigger parks there, but Little Natural Bridge is really nice. And like you said, it has this large sandstone arch. I think it's the largest natural arch in Wisconsin, and Native Americans used to use it kind of as a shelter. There's a little cave right underneath it, so a cool little natural and history spot again.
And let's go back to our callers now. We have Frankie joining us in Fort Atkinson. Frankie, hi.
Hi. I would just like to give a shout out to the Friends group and the volunteers who support the state park and really make them what they are.
Oh, yeah, that's great to remember about the volunteers, people who work there, too, and get the word out and keep the programs going. Chelsea, do you want to add a couple words to that?
Yeah, I'm so glad that caller said that, because every time I'm out, I run into volunteers, and they really do make these state parks, like she said, make them what they are. A lot of the trail maintenance and upkeep is done by them. You know, they raise money for different things when bridges need to be built or whatnot. So it's so great that we have people that are willing to give their time and money to keep these state parks running.
Frankie, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Jim calling. He's here in Wisconsin. Jim, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What park do you have for us, Jim?
Yellowstone Lake State Park. And, yeah, it's a great place, quiet, They got the lake there, and it's do a lot of bike riding. So that's most of why I go camping, is so I can ride elsewhere.
And I don't know where that one is, Jim. I haven't been there or heard of that one. Where is that in the state?
Near just west of New Glarus.
Okay. So Yellowstone.
So you got all the breweries and stuff there that you can visit.
Jim, thanks for the call. So Chelsea, we have a Yellowstone here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I have not been to Yellowstone. It's been on my list for a while. So I'm hoping to get there this summer. But like the caller said, there's some really great bike trails around there. I know the Badger State Trail kind of runs through there. So hopefully I can get out there this summer and check that out.
And Chelsea, one of my favorite in the state is Big Bay State Park on Madeline Island. Another ferry ride, just one, not two like Rock Island. But that's, to me, that's one of the all-time, it's probably top on my list for the incredible hike along the bluffs overlooking Lake Superior. Have you been to that one?
Yeah, you know, I've only been there in the winter when I drove on the ice road, so I didn't even get to ride on the ferry. But yeah, it's so pretty there. And there's a little beach there, too. So you've got, if you're willing to take a dip in the cold Lake Superior waters, you've got that.
Wait, yeah. Back up. You're driving on ice and then taking a dip in the waters. Did I hear you right?
No, different season.
Different season. Okay, I just want to, yeah.
Yeah.
Chelsea's made of stern stuff.
I guess so, yeah.
She does it all at the parks.
That's a little extreme for me.
So, Chelsea, you have been to most of the parks that have come up. Are there ones that you want to cross off your Wisconsin State Park bucket list anytime soon?
Yeah, there are a few up in northern Wisconsin. I still haven't been to Pattison State Park, which is another waterfalls park. I think the biggest waterfall in the state, Big Manitou Falls, is there. So I'm really hoping to get to that one this year. And then hopefully I can get to Big Bay when it's still nice and sunny and warm, and maybe I can take a dip.
Yeah, you won't regret it. It's still going to be a little cold. I'm not going to lie to you. Even in summer, it's a little, you know, brisk. Yeah. It's bracing. Let's just say it's bracing.
Sure. Refreshing.
And anything else you want people to know about getting out and exploring and maybe getting out of their rut of where they normally go?
Yeah, well, if you are going to go to state parks, know that you'll need a state park sticker. They cost $8 per day or $28 for the year, which I think is one of the best deals and things to do in Wisconsin. You know, you can't do much else for $28 in the year, so that's really great. You can usually bring your dogs as long as they're on a leash. Make sure they're on a leash. They're not typically allowed in picnic areas and some nature trails and some beaches, but there are some designated trails or some designated beaches and stuff for them. And just find adventure wherever you are. I mean, I think it's easy to overlook sometimes gems that are in your own backyard, things you drive past every day, but you can find adventure wherever you are in Wisconsin.
Chelsea, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Chelsea Lewis, multimedia journalist from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can find a link to her piece and share your state park thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page. We talked earlier, was it last year? Talked to a high school student from New Berlin who had, over the course of one season, visited all the state parks. And a caller we didn't have time to get to, I'm sorry, Michelle in Arcadia, apparently has been to every single state park in Wisconsin. Is that a goal you'll set for yourself?
I feel like I've got to be pretty close. I hadn't been to the last place you mentioned. Was it Pattison or Patterson?
Pattison, I think.
Pattison. So I haven't been there. That's one. And the Perot I haven't been to. So, yeah, it would be great to cross those all off.
I'd have some more catching up, too.
You're listening to Central Time.
The Bank of England, the 300-year-old central bank based in London, has a problem. The bank puts out a lot of reports and publications, but those reports are kind of dense, written in complicated bank jargon that the public and policymakers have a hard time understanding.
So the bank staff has been doing some, shall we say, inspirational reading that can help them embrace simpler language, the books of Dr. Seuss.
A former official with the bank told the story in a speech this weekend. She said the bank had discovered that just 1 in 5 people could read and understand the bank's reports on things like inflation. So they turned to Dr. Seuss because he was a master at using simple language at getting even children to read.
Seuss wrote The Cat in the Hat, for instance, with a challenge to use no more than 250 or so simple words. So, yeah, he might be a good inspiration for these bankers.
Yeah, and I find myself, I'm not quite in bank jargon territory. territory, I hope, whenever I write stuff. But I do catch myself getting, you know, overlong sentences. And I think the less I know a topic, the more obscurely I write. So maybe it could pay off to go back and read, like strip it down, go back to the basics, read Dr. Seuss.
Right. We could try that on Central Time. We could try to, you know, deliver everything in rhyme and in three-letter words.
The news and the view. No, I'm not going to try to do it in real time. It won't end well.
No, it will not. We'll practice first in the privacy of, not on the air. Let's say that.
Right. The jargon-free news coming out from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time.